Finally, we have an A-side, B-side for you. The world's future folk producer, Brandy Fullwood, often listens to music that serves as a link to the cultures of previous generations. Today, since our eyes are already trained on the Olympics in South Korea, Brandy's finding out what connects K-pop to traditional Korean music.
I've been reading a lot about K-pop, and article after article mentions how Western it is, with a Korean twist. With contemporary K-pop, I can pick out clear R&B, Europop, and trap influences. But there are also clear socio-political influences, and those even go back further in traditional Korean music, which is how I'll connect the A-side to the B-side. In the Smithsonian Folkways archives, songs like Tarachi Taryung, performed by Kim Ok-sim, are part of a history. In 1122 BC, Chitsu, a Chinese overlord, brought music and instruments into northern Korea, which explains why traditional Korean music is based on the pentatonic scale. There are these small notes that our ears can pick out of broad ideas that expose clear influences. And this is what happens with K-pop as well.
K-pop itself is a very genre-fluid thing. It's not like K-pop's not a genre. It's just, you know, popular music, right?
That's Cedar Boseji. She teaches Korean studies at the University of British Columbia. We move away from traditional music to talk about trot. Seiji calls trot the grandparent to today's K-pop. And no surprise, it's also politically influenced. Korean trot music resembles enka, a Japanese genre that's closely tied to traditional music of Japan. Trot music emerged from the Japanese occupation of Korea from 1910 to 1945. It has notes of polka and the foxtrot.
Trot has this very, very strong beat, and it tends to be like this 2-4 meter. People call it bong jak because that's what the beat sounds like. Bong jak, bong jak.
After the occupation, trot music changed again.
The Korean government started to censor music, and one of the reasons was if it was too foreign, particularly too Japanese. So if the trot sounded too Japanese or appeared to be too Japanese, then those songs would actually be banned.
Seiji says the government was insistent on reestablishing a Korean national identity even through music.
Trot tried to really rebrand itself as being Korean. A lot of that rebranding that was happening at that time was removing elements that seemed to be distinctly Japanese, like using the Japanese scale.
Trot musicians use more Western sounds and instruments to create this difference and distance from any Japanese culture. But visually, they brought out more Korean cultural artifacts.
This is like the elemental heartbeat music of Korea. This is what people think of when they think of nostalgia and hometown and, you know, true Korean values.
All right, the B-side. Connecting K-pop with earlier music like trot or even traditional music is not really about sound. Admittedly, K-pop doesn't sound like traditional Korean music, and it doesn't even always sound like trot. Give or take a few songs from artists like Psy. Today's K-pop, much like its earlier iterations, is also politically shaped. K-pop performers, in addition to being great dancers and singers, are attractive and excessively talented. They're trained to be perfect. It's like the standard of Motown with 10 times the pressure. Their image, because of political censorship, is strict. Stars are expected to follow traditional gender roles and subject matters, but performers playfully subvert those rules. I learned from Seiji that when K-pop was still trot, traditional Korean values helped to distinguish popular culture from Japanese influence. Now it's less about that particular comparison and more about enhancing a distinct Korean wave of culture. From live performances to music videos, K-pop certainly does this. It resembles a lot of things, but it's also come into its own sound profile. Even with the influences in mind, it can be extremely polished, vibrant, well-rounded, and distinct. For the world, I'm Brandy Fuller.
That's Heart Attack by Luna. A side B-side is part of the world's collaboration with Smithsonian Folkways. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH here in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. We'll be back with you tomorrow.